أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم صلاة والتسليما يلقان بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدًا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. صلِّ اللهم وسلِّم وبارِك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميمين، أما بعد. جماعة المسلمين، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. فترى الذين في قلوبهم مرض يسارعون فيهم يقولون نخشى أن تصيبنا دائرة، فعسى الله أن يأتي بالفتح أو أمر من عنده فيصبحوا على ما أسروا في أنفسهم نادمين. صدق الله العظيم. سورة المائدة verses 51 and 52. سورة المائدة, the fifth chapter of the Holy Quran, verses number 51 and 52. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. جماعة المسلمين, once again, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In continuation, part 3 of our discussion about النفاق والمنافقين. النفاق والمنافقين والمنافقين والخائنين. In our discussion about hypocrisy and the hypocrites and the traitors. And the traitors. In fact, I was thinking about that dua that I made mention of and which I made firstly for myself and for all of us and for the entire ummah to save us from nifaq. You will notice that the dua begins with seeking refuge in Allah from hypocrisy. And it ends in seeking refuge in Allah from treachery. So the two are connected. It starts with hypocrisy. Allahumma tahhir qulubana min al-nifaq. Oh Allah, purify our hearts from hypocrisy. Say ameen. Wa al-sinatana min al-kadhib. And our tongues from lies. Because a munafiq, a lichbaya. A munafiq, a hypocrite. What are the three signs? The first sign is idha hadatha kadhaba. When a hypocrite speaks, they lie. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. And if they make a promise, they break it. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. And if they take on a trust, they betray that trust. They are traitors to that trust. So how does the dua begin? اللَّهُمَّ اطَّهِرْ قُلُوبَنَا مِنَ النِّفَاقِ وَأَلْسِنَتَنَا مِنَ الْكَذِبِ. Oh Allah, purify our hearts of hypocrisy and our tongues from lies. وَعَمَالَنَا مِنَ الرِّيَاءِ. And our actions from show. Because that is the art of a munafiq. To show what he's not. It's an art. He's a master at it. To show what he's not until Allah exposes him. Until Allah exposes him. And that's what's happening now. And that's what's happening now. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let the disbelievers not think for one moment that we give them respite on Sakhifa al-Adrat, We give them respite for their own benefit, for their own good. No, we give them respite that they might increase in sin. We give them respite that they might increase in sin, increase in oppression, increase in brutal occupation, increase in murder, in massacres, in genocide. As we see what is happening in Rafah, relentless bombing of tent encampments, bombing people in tents. Have you ever heard of anything like that? Knowing that they are refugees, knowing that they are on the brink of starvation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He only gives them respite. He gives them enough rope to hang themselves. He gives them respite that they might increase in sin, and for them is a humiliating torment. When Allah takes them, there's no getting away. Please keep that in front of you, otherwise you're going to despair. Otherwise, you're going to lose hope. Otherwise, we are going to start doubting the power and the control and the majesty and the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we must never do, not even for one moment. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't think for one moment that Allah is unaware of what the oppressors are doing. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. He's only delaying their punishment. It's coming. He's just delaying it. Because he wants to see what are we going to do. What are we going to say? Are we going to be like the gecko? You know the gecko? No, that's the Fakir Manachi. That's the chameleon. The gecko is the one that was blowing on the fire of Nabi Ibrahim. No. He wanted to give more fuel to the fire, the gecko. It is the ant that wanted to put the fire out. The ant with his drop of water. Remember that story? The ant with his drop of water. The gecko wanted to increase the fire, to give more fuel to the fire. But the ant wanted to put out the fire. When the ant was carrying the drop of water, they asked him, what are you going to do with one drop of water with such a big bonfire? So big that they had to catapult Nabi Ibrahim ﷺ into the fire. The ant turns to them and says, I just wanted to show which side I'm on. I just wanted to show which side I am on. Allahumma fashhad ya Rabb. Oh Allah, take witness which side we are on, ya Allah. So Allah will never ever, coming back to the first verse I mentioned now, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Let the disbelievers not think for one moment that we give them respite for their own good. We only give them respite that they might increase in sin, and for them is a humiliating torment. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. And then Allah turns to the believers. And Allah will never ever leave the believers in the condition that you are in. We're in a difficult condition. Wallahi, wallahi, billahi, tallahi. We're in a difficult condition. But difficult only from our perspective. Only from our perspective. Because in dealing with this difficulty, we're going to have to make effort and strive and struggle and sacrifice. Look at the sacrifices the people of Gaza are making. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will never leave the believers in the condition that you are in. Allah makes it personal, second person. He speaks about the kuffar, and here He speaks to the believers. Allah will never leave the believers in the condition that you are in. حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Until Allah has first separated the wretched from the righteous. Those who have fulfilled their covenant from those who have broke. Let me put it the other way, because he says wretched first. In order that Allah might expose the wretched from the righteous. All the scum and the impurities of the water, it comes to the surface. in order that Allah might expose those who have broken their covenant versus those who have fulfilled their covenant or are waiting to fulfill it. In the case of the shuhada, because being a shaheed is a true fulfillment of a covenant. وَمِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. From amongst the believers, there are true men. Being true to the covenant that they took on with Allah. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَ. And there are those of them who have fulfilled the covenant. They are shaheed. Allah accept all our shuhada. Ameen. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ. And there are those who are waiting. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبَدِيلًا. And they've never turned back from their intention. They've never turned back from their intention. Like Malik Faisal, rahimahullah ta'ala, which we will come to now, inshallah. So that's what's happening right now. Is Allah is separating the wretched from the righteous. Those who have fulfilled their covenant from those who have broken their covenant. Allah is separating who else? If you go to Surah Al-Ankabut, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. In order that Allah might make manifest who are those who have fulfilled their covenant and who are those who have broken their covenant. بِمُجَرَّدْ كَلِمَةً. Just by us saying we believe. Just by us saying we believe. Allah guarantees He's going to test us. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَيُّتْرَكُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدَ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Verse number 11. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. As are we the hypocrites? Does mankind think they're going to be left alone? That they're going to say, we believe, and then Allah's not going to test them? And indeed, we tested those who came before them. فَتَنَّ وَلَقَدَ فَتَنَّ. What does it say? What is fitna? What is fitna in the Arabic language? Al-Arab yaqulun fatantu al-dhahaba wal-fiddata bin-nar. I tested the gold and the silver with the fire. That's a fitna. To see what the gold and the silver is made of. And in terms of a trial and tribulation that Allah is putting this ummah through now, it is to see what we are made of. It is to see whether we are going to fulfill our covenant or break it. Verse number 11, to make manifest those who are the true believers and to make manifest and to expose those who are hypocrites and traitors. Why? Because like that, the dua goes, the two are connected. Oh Allah, purify our hearts from hypocrisy and our tongues from lies and our actions from show. And our eyes from treachery. فَإِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Because indeed you know the treachery of the eye and that which hides in the hearts of mankind. So where there's a munafiq, there is betrayal and there is treachery. Connecting our hadith. When I say hadith, I don't mean hadith al-Nabawi, our hadith, our conversation, our talk about al-Nifaq wal-Munafiqeen. We left off, or let's say we stopped last week speaking about the treachery amongst the Muslimin. Before and during and after the First World War. There were some with two faces, there were some with three faces, there were some with four faces. And it was all about power. It was all about self-interest. There was nothing that was done for the sake of Allah. And for the sake of Islam and the Muslimin. And that's why we are where we are today. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change the condition of themselves. So we were in a relatively good condition compared to now.
It wasn't perfect. But during the time of Sultan Abdul Hamid II, Allah irhamu, we were in a relatively good position. He was the last bulwark, the last bastion of protecting the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he believed in that. He believed that the one glue that binds us as an Ummah is the glue of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not being Turk, not being Arab, not being black, not being white, but being Muslim. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. This ummah of yours is one ummah. Wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. And I am your Lord, so worship me. When he was overthrown by the Turks themselves, he was betrayed by his own people, his closest advisors, and everything fell apart. And then the Arabs betrayed their brothers, the Turks, and sided with the Kuffar in the First World War, in the great Arab revolt. And we are still feeling the repercussions of that treachery up till today. In the end, we know what happened to the Hashemite, Sharif Hussein. He ended up under house arrest in Cyprus. It is narrated, one of his sons was with him, I think the one that didn't become a king, because Faisal became the king of Iraq, and Abdullah eventually became, in the 40s, became the king of Jordan. Up until then, he was only the Amir. And the country was controlled and run under the authority of Lieutenant General Sir John Glubb. That's why many analysts say there was no such thing as the Arab-Israeli war. Because England still wielded huge influence over Malik Farouk, over King Farouk of Egypt. And Jordan was basically being run by the British. And they made a secret agreement with the Zionists, just give us the West Bank. And it is even said that King Abdullah himself actually informed the Zionists where the Arab troops were stationed. Iraq, same story. Iraq was also basically still occupied by the British. Egypt occupied by the British. Iraq occupied by the British. Jordan occupied by the British. Lebanon and Syria were basically just coming out of a war of independence, but still heavily influenced by the French. And the Arabs never sent their armies, they sent expeditionary forces in 1948 that were ill-equipped and ill-trained. And they say that the number of soldiers in this expeditionary force from five different Arab countries, so-called, didn't amount to more than 25,000. At the beginning of the war, the Zionists had 35,000. And towards, or in their troop buildup, they went to 100,000, the Zionists. And they had all the latest weaponry. And they had the training. They had the arms and the ammunition. Basically, the British, when they left, when they abandoned their mandate, they handed historical Palestine to the Zionists on a golden platter. Sheikh Ahmed Yasin, rahimahullah ta'ala, the founder of Harakat al-Muqawamat al-Islamiyya, the Islamic resistance movement, he's from Jura, which is a village in the region or principality of Asqalan. He says when the Egyptian troops came there, the first thing they did was to disarm the Palestinians. He says this, I'm quoting him. He says this to Ahmed Mansour in his series of interviews that he did with Ahmed Mansour on a program called Ash-Shahid al-Asr. He said when the Egyptians, when they came into Jura, they disarmed the Palestinians, and then very shortly after that, they were told to retreat. And the Palestinians were left without any weapons to defend themselves from the Zionists or against the Zionists. So treachery upon treachery upon treachery. Faisal, before becoming king of Iraq, signed the Faisal-Weizmann agreement. Faisal-Weizmann agreement. Chaim Weizmann, a Russian chemist, he became the leader of the World Zionist Federation. And Faisal, when he was still an emir, the son of Sharif Hussein, he signed an agreement with Weizmann that as long as the Arabs got their independent kingdom, they can establish a national home for the Jews in Palestine. He wasn't interested. He wasn't interested in Palestine. Treachery. Betrayal. Nifaq. And when he eventually was crowned king of the Syrian Arab kingdom, only lasted for 4 months. And then he had to go into exile. And then as a consolation, British, they gave a consolation. It's okay, you can become king of Iraq. It's from Makkah, but he becomes king of Iraq. Abdullah becomes king of Transjordan, country invented by the British. And that betrayal and treachery exists up till today. No, I can't go to Jordan anymore. It's okay. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Sharif Hussein, it is said that he had deep regret betraying the Ottomans. We hope it's true. We hope it's true. And that if he made Tawbah, may Allah forgive him. Inna Allah yaqbalu tawbat al-'abd ma lam yugharghir. Allah accepts the repentance of a servant as long as their souls don't reach their throats. So if he did make tawbah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. They say he was in Cyprus and an Ottoman band. Don't ask me what the Ottoman band was doing there. No, of course Cyprus was first an Ottoman territory until the Greeks took half of it. And then occupied the other half, but then it was taken back by the Turks. But that's much later. So when he was under house arrest in Cyprus, Sharif Hussein, he was in his flat or in his house, and the window was open, and this Ottoman band was playing the Izmir March. You know, the Ottomans are the first model army to use a band when they went into battle. And one of the marches was called the March of Izmir. Izmir, famous town in Turkey. And when he heard this Izmir march being played, famous Ottoman march, he asked his son to close the windows. He didn't want to hear it. And when his son asked him, but why? He says, I don't want to be reminded of my betrayal of, I don't know what the word that he used, Ottoman masters or Ottoman, basically the Khalifa. And so it is said that he had bitter regret for his betrayal. Now, comparatively speaking, with all of the betrayal of the Ottomans and the agreements that he made with the British, I'm speaking about Abdul Aziz ibn Saud, with all of his politicking, making agreements with the Ottomans and breaking those agreements, making agreements with the British, making agreements with Sharif Hussein and breaking those, with all of his treachery and politicking, he never, ever, ever. I know there is a letter that they say that he wrote, but some say it's a forgery. Allahu alam. But I'm, like the Prophet has taught us, an-nahkum ala al-zahir, to judge that which is apparent. To judge that which is apparent. And what is apparent in 1945, okay, now he's got his power now. We don't know what he did before that, whether he gave a green light for the Jewish national home or not. They say he didn't, or he says he didn't. Let's take it at face value. In 1945, in actual fact, on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February 1945, Abdul Aziz bin Saud, he met with President Roosevelt on the USS Quincy in the Bitter Lake of the Suez Canal. And that is where the Saudis and the Americans made their agreement. Protection for the Saudi state, for oil concessions, but this comes from the office of the president himself. President Roosevelt said that Abdul Aziz bin Saud never ever agreed to the establishment of a Jewish state or even a national home, and he never ever agreed to the increase or the continuation of Jewish immigration to historical Palestine. His son, Amir Faisal, who was the Minister of Foreign Affairs at the time of the partition plan, for your own reading, go and read up on the partition plan and you will see how the Zionist Federation in America, led at the time, I think, by Stephen Wise, Rabbi Stephen Wise, he was one of the leaders of it, put enormous pressure on Harry S. Truman. That's after Roosevelt died. To put pressure on the countries that were going to vote no on the partition plan in 1947. I think it was in November 1947. That America actually, in fact, Truman became very irritated, even though he was a Baptist, so that means he was a Zionist. Roosevelt was an Episcopalian. In fact, my great-grandmother from Scotland was an Episcopalian. They say that Episcopalians are Protestant Catholics. And you can explain that one to me later, inshallah. But he wasn't a Zionist. He was just politicking old Roosevelt. In actual fact, he was real Dhu Wajahin, two-faced, because he gave one face for the Zionists, one face for the Zionists, and one face for bin Saud. But he was nothing like Truman. In fact, Truman got irritated by the Zionists, but he gave in, because they wielded, even at that time, they wielded huge pressure, huge power, political power in Washington. The Zionist Federation in that time, before the formation of AIPAC. And it is said that Truman then put pressure on these countries that voted yes, that were going to vote no. He put pressure on them in order that they voted yes for the partition plan in 1947. Before that vote actually went through, Faisal, who was an Amir at that time, he was a prince, in fact he was the foreign minister, he gave a very, very strong speech against the partition plan and the establishment of the Zionist state. When Malik Faisal, when he became king, and then in 1969, when Dennis Michael Rohan, I sometimes get confused with Baruch Goldstein, who murdered our brothers in Masjid of Khalil, and the other one is Dennis Michael Rohan, an Australian Christian Zionist who set fire to Masjid al-Aqsa, and caused the total destruction of the Salah ad-Din, the minbar of Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, and extensive damage to the roof and to the masjid. And then Malik Faisal gave his famous speech after that, when he said, "Mada nantazir? Ya ikhwani. Mada nantazir? Oh my brothers, what are we waiting for? Hal nantazir damir al-alami? Are we waiting for the morality of the world? Like us today. We're waiting for Joe Biden. Or for Rishi Sunak. You know, or for the Germans. Or for the United Nations. Or for the ICJ. We're waiting for them to stop the massacres. We're waiting for their immorality. We're waiting for their humanity." But their morality and humanity is dead. Is dead. لقد أسمعت لو ناديت حيا ولكن لا حياة لمن تنادي والنار إذا نفخت بها أضاءت ولكن أنت تنفخ في الرماد. The poet says you would have been heard if the people that you were calling on had life. But the people you're calling on, they are dead. Their hearts are dead. Like a fire, when you blow into it, it gets brighter. You are blowing into dead coals. As Malik Faisal said back in 1969, just after the 21st of August, that's when Dennis Michael Rohan set fire to Masjid al-Aqsa. He said, what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for the morality and the humanity of the world? He said, where is the morality and the humanity of the world? He said, what do we fear? Do we fear death? Hal nakhsha al-maut? And then he said, and what better death is there but for a person to die mujahidan fi sabilillah? And then he said, nuriduha thawra islamiyya la qawmiyya. He said, we want a revolution, an Islamic revolution, not a national revolution like they did with the Turkish nationalist revolution and the Arab nationalist revolution. And both of them weren't revolutions, because a revolution means to go from bad to good. He says, we want an Islamic revolution, not a nationalist revolution. And then he said, and if Allah is to write for me a death, then let that death be for me to die mujahidan fi sabilillah. He was calling for jihad, but implementation had to come. Words are one thing, actions are another. Actions are another. But he made a dua at the end. And I want to connect it to the verse that I quoted earlier. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. There are those that have fulfilled their covenant, and there are those that are waiting to fulfill their covenant. He made the intention. And what is that hadith? That whoever does not fight in the path of Allah when it is needed, or make intention to fight, mata ala shu'bati min an-nifaq, then they die on a branch of hypocrisy. He made the dua at the end of the speech that he gave. He said that, and if Allah does not write for me to make this jihad, in other words, to liberate Palestine and Masjid al-Aqsa, then he must not leave me to live one moment longer on this earth. But one thing you will notice, when it comes to the West, they ignore such words. But when you make actions that hurt them, like what he did on the 17th of October 1973 with the oil embargo, and Henry Kissinger went to Saudi Arabia, and they had a big meeting, and it is narrated, anecdote, it is narrated that Malik Faisal prepared a long table, and he had put little miniature oil wells in the middle of the table. And because it was rumored that the Americans were going to make some sortie, or were going to attack some of the oil wells. And it was said to the Americans at that meeting, it was said to Kissinger himself, that you can, and there was a plate with a date on it, a plate with a date and a glass of camel's milk. So he said, you can destroy all of our oil wells, and they pointed to the miniature oil wells. We'll go back to living in our tents, eating dates and drinking camel's milk. And camel's milk, the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he ate anything, he always said, Allahumma barikna fima razaqna wa zidna khayrun min. Oh Allah, bless us in what you have given us and grant us better thereafter. Except when he drank camel's milk. He said, oh Allah, bless us in what you've given us and grant us more of it. Because there's nothing better than camel's milk. Well, that oil embargo lasted until March 1974. A year later, Malik Faisal was assassinated by his nephew, who had just come back from America. You can read between the lines. Jamaat Muslimin, my time is up. We're going to have to go for part four next week, inshallah. But I want to say this. I want to say this. I mean, Malik Faisal, mashallah. If only. And OPEC at the time had said, they said, we will not stop this oil embargo until you go back to the armistice lines of 1949, which is basically what Palestine looked like just before the Six-Day War of 1967, which is what people are calling for now in terms of a two-state solution, which I believe never existed in the first place. But the so-called two-state solution is based on the armistice lines of 1949. OPEC at the time said, we will continue with the oil embargo until you go back to the armistice lines and the Palestinians are granted their liberation and their sovereignty. And it never happened. In fact, very shortly after that, they increased production. And there were many other negative effects that came off that. But at the end of the day, what they did was Allahu Akbar. And that's why Sami Hamdi, please look up Sami Hamdi on YouTube. Brilliant political Muslim political thinker and analyst. He says that with regards to this genocide that is taking place in Gaza, it could have been stopped on the first day. It could have been stopped on the first day. It is said that in 1973, Golda Meir wanted $840 million worth of arms. President Nixon sent her $2.2 billion. They said that was the thing that caused Malik Faisal to literally, he became so angry that he called for a total oil embargo on America. And included in that was Portugal, the Netherlands, and the Republic of South Africa. We were also included in that oil embargo. But after the war, OPEC gave up. And so nothing came of that great effort that was made and led by Malik Faisal, rahimahullah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his shahada and grant him a high place in Jannah. Even those who came after Malik Faisal. I mean, I was reading about in the time of Malik Fahad, how much money he spent on the propagation of Islam and how many hundreds of millions of copies that he printed of the Quran and distributed around the world. Even under Malik Abdullah, you know, they had many of the Saudi kings, they had this mantra of do what I say, don't do what I do. They had alternative lifestyles. We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. But nothing like what we are seeing today, Jamaat Muslims. Wallahi, nothing like what we are seeing. I even make dua for Malik Fahad. Oh Allah, forgive him and grant him a place in Jannah. He was, I mean, we won't go. They say, اذكروا محاسن موتاكم. Remember the good deeds of your deceased. لا تسبوا الأموات فإنهم قد أفضوا لما قدموا. Don't insult or don't curse the dead, says the Prophet ﷺ, because they have gone now to pay for their deeds. That's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But wallahi, from the time of Abdul Aziz, Malik Abdul Aziz, and all those that came after him, wallahi billahi tallah, it is nothing like what we are seeing today. Since 2017, when Mohammed bin Salman basically emasculated the, and I'm quoting Bernard Haykel here, he said that Mohammed bin Salman in 2017, when he initiated a coup on the palace, he emasculated the palace. Mohammed bin Nayef, who was the crown prince, is still under arrest. In 2017, the most prominent of the ulama in Saudi Arabia were thrown in prison. And the latest figures that I got from an activist who was visiting South Africa, not from Saudi Arabia, but from a country in the region, he said, as far as he knows, there are at least 4,000 imams, du'at, a'imma, khutaba, that are sitting in prison. Jamal Khashoggi, we know what happened to him in 2018. In 2020, the Friends of Zion, they included Mohammed bin Salman in the of the five that were given awards of being the Friends of Zion. On the 6th of October, an article was written by a reporter from Fox News about the interview that he had with Mohammed bin Salman, that the Palestinians, and I quote, the Palestinians must copy the Israelis. That's the words he gave. And that there is no pause on the normalization of ties between Saudi Arabia and Israel. But we're going to have to leave. That's the framework for next week's khutbah, inshallah. Jamaat al-Muslimin, we're living in difficult times. We're living in trying times. The genocide continues. Illa mata. Until when? Mata nasrullah. When is the victory of Allah? Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb. Indeed, the victory of Allah is near. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا
الحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب يا ربي يا ستار العيوب استر عيوبنا يا ربي يا غفار الذنوب اغفر ذنوبنا يا ربي يا مفرج الكروب فرج كروبنا يا ربي يا علام الغيوب قنا شر ما أهمنا وغمنا وارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا عليما بخلقك يا خبيرا بخلقك يا لطيفا بخلقك ألطف بنا بما جرت به المقادير إنك على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله لا تظلمن إذا ما كنت مقتدرا فالظلم ترجع قباه إلى الندم تنام عيناك والمظلوم منتبه يدعو عليك وعين الله لم تنم وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله عظمت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله صلى عليك الله يا علم الهدى ما هبت النسائم وما ناحت على الأيك الحمائم أما بعد فيا حماة الإسلام وحراس العقيدة إلى أين يا سارة الكرام اسمعوا معي إلى ما قاله مولانا تبارك اسمه في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب مهين وما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب صدق الله العظيم ولقد دعا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وألسنة من الكذب وأعمالنا من الرياء وعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور آمين 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 يا رب العالمين. أعود بكم من هناك إلى هنا، وما أدراك ما هنا؟ هنا مدرسة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، يقول فيها الحبيب المصطفى: البر لا يبلى والذنب لا ينسى والديان لا يموت، اعمل ما شئت كما تدين تدان. ويقول أيضا: كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدًا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فيا أيها المسلمون، أوصيكم ونفسي المذنبة أولا بتقوى الله تعالى وطاعته، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن، واكثروا عباد الله. من الصلاة والسلام على سيدي وحبيبي ونور قلبي محمد، طب القلوب ودوائها، وعافة الأبدان وشفائها، ونور الأبصار وضيائها. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وارضى اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن الحسن والحسين وأهل البدر والحنين، وعن سائر أهله الطيبين الطاهرين، وعن سائر صحابته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي بفضلك منتهي الحق والدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وفي غزة خاصة يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة، اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وأمنهم من خوف. اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في غزة، اللهم ارمي عنهم إذا رموا وسد عنهم إذا رموا. اللهم عليك بالصهاينة ومن والاهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم شتت شملهم، اللهم فرق جمعهم، اللهم لا تحقق لهم غاية ولا ترفع لهم راية. اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى والأرض المقدسة من أيديهم، وارزقنا صلاة في المسجد الأقصى وهو حر عزيز يا رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله، وأقم الصلاة. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. استووا، اعتدلوا، تراصوا، سد الخلل، سو صفوفكم، فإن تسوية الصف من تمام الصلاة. heels in line, shoulder touching shoulder, close all the gaps. وصلوا صلاة المودع. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين طغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد. الله سمي الله لمن حمده. الله 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 أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله سمي الله لمن حمده. الله 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 أكبر إلا الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. نستغفر الله نستغفر الله نستغفر اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم عليك توكلنا وإليك نبنا وإليك المصير. اللهم اكتب الصحة والسلام لنا ولعبيدك الحجاج والمسافرين والمرابطين والغزاة في برك وبحرك وجوك من أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أوصلهم إلى مكة المكرمة وإلى المدينة المنورة سالمين غانمين مستبشرين مع الصحة والسلامة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اجعل حجهم حجا مبرورا وسعيهم سعيا مشكورا وذنوبهم ذنوبا مغفورا وأعمالهم أعمالا صالحة مقبولة وتجارتهم تجارة لن تبور. يا نور النور يا عالم ما في الصدور أخرجنا يا الله وإياهم من الظلمات إلى النور. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Allah.